Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Tuesday, May 15th, 2012. It's a great day to be alive. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from sunny Southern California today. Excited to be here. Excited to be on the line with each of you. You know, last night I was getting ready for bed here in my hotel room, and it hit me that I'm now on the Pacific Coast, so I had to call in at 6 a.m. and experience what our California and Oregon and Washington callers experience when they dial in at 6 a.m., and so I had a smile on my face, and I set my alarm for 5 a.m. to give me some time to go down to the workout center and perform a little exercise, and my alarm went off at 5 a.m. this morning, and I rolled out of bed, and I got up, and I walked over to the restroom, and I turned on the light, and I looked in the mirror, and I said to myself, oh, man, I'm tired. I'd like to go back to bed. And at that point in time, I made a choice, and I said, no, you need to go get your shorts on and your shoes and your shirt, and you need to go down and get to the gym. And I chose at that particular time my thought, which led to a choice of action. And I went down and I got on the treadmill, and as I'm running on that treadmill, I realized that those two choices that I made this morning are now going to lead to better choices in my life, as that little jog that I had this morning added increase to my physical being, added health to myself and my body, which again will lead to expanded choices throughout the rest of my life. And it hit me as so profound, but that's what we have the power to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have the power to choose our thoughts, and we have the power to choose our actions. And if we choose wisely, those choices will lead to greater choices and greater awareness and greater happiness, abundance, prosperity throughout our lives. You know, when I get off this call, I'm about 5 minutes from the beach over here on the Pacific Coast, and what I'm going to do is get in my rental car and drive over to the beach, and I'm going to sit down on that sand, and I'm going to look out over the Pacific Ocean, and I might see the sun coming up from behind me, glistening down on the water, and I'm going to express gratitude for my existence. And I'm thinking that I might have, at that point in time, a greater sense of appreciation for infinite intelligence as I look out over the vastness of the Pacific Ocean. And it comes to me that this experience that I have not yet had, but I will have in my mind when I get off this call, came to me and is in my life because I have made some good choices in regard to my thoughts and my actions, where I now have the freedom to be able to get on a plane and fly over here to California and go sit on that beach and have a life experience that I will remember and that will add to who I am as a person, spiritually, mentally, and temporally. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited to be alive, and I hope you are as well, and I hope that each of us appreciates this gift of choice that we have. And if you're on this call, which you are if you're hearing my voice, it's important to understand that what we're doing on this call is we're learning how to choose our thoughts wisely, eliminate the thoughts that we do not want to have in our lives, those thoughts which will drag us down, and then also learn to make the right choices that will lead to increase of life. That's what we're doing on this call. I commend you for being here, and I challenge you, as always, to make a commitment to be on this call Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Live, or if you cannot make the live call, dial into the replay. This call will change your life, not because of the things that I say, but because during this call, we're learning principles, laws, we're learning all of these things that will allow us to make those better choices. Now, what I want to cover today, a little bit of a surprise. We've gone through the book Think and Grow Rich, which we're going to go through again and again and again, because that is obviously the foundation of the philosophy of success and achievement. We also just went through the book The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Waddles. As I was pondering what we should go over for the next few days, it hit me that there's a critical piece of success philosophy that we need to cover. It's a critical piece to my life and some of the success that I've been able to have. And it really, I believe, might just be the missing piece for a lot of people on the call, myself included, is that we can always move forward as we gain new understandings and new awareness and new knowledge. This particular, what I want to do is go through the first few chapters. We're going to kind of dip our toe in the water. We won't go all the way through the whole book. But I want to go through the first couple of chapters of the book, Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And I'll tell you why I want to go through the first couple of chapters. First of all, what we're going to cover here, I don't believe was touched on at all in the Science of Getting Rich. As wonderful and complete as that book is, and all of the great insights and wisdom we got from that, I don't think what we're going to cover here was even touched on in that book. Now, in the book Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill tells us how to fix what we're, or improve what we're going to learn about in psycho-cybernetics. He gives us the method, the self-confidence formula, and he touches on briefly, in addition to the self-confidence formula, that we are to visualize our ideal self into the future as we want to be. So he gives us the method of operation for enhancing this particular area of our lives, but he doesn't really explain why it's so important or why it's so powerful. So that's why I want to jump into these first few chapters, because Dr. Maxwell Maltz, more than any other author I've ever read or ever heard of, does a phenomenal job of explaining this mysterious aspect of our lives, and mysterious to the vast majority of people, but also one of the critical pieces of our ability to do the things we want to do, become who we want to become, and have the things we want to have, this critical piece called the self-image. So I hope you're excited. We're going to jump into the preface today, and then again we'll go through the next couple of chapters over the next few days, and then we're going to go back into the book Think and Grow Rich. So here we go. Preface: the secret of using this book to change your life. Discovery of the self-image represents a breakthrough in psychology in the field of creative personality. The significance of the self-image has been recognized for more than a decade, yet there has been little written about it. Curiously enough, this is not because self-image psychology has not worked, but because it has worked so amazingly well. As one of my colleagues expressed it, I am reluctant to publish my findings, especially for the lay public, because if I presented some of my case histories and described the rather amazing and spectacular improvements in personality, I would be accused of exaggerating or trying to start a cult, or both. I, too, felt the same sort of reluctance. Any book I might write on the subject would be sure to be regarded as somewhat unorthodox by many of my colleagues for several reasons. In the first place, it is somewhat unorthodox for a plastic surgeon to write a book on psychology. In the second place, it will probably be regarded in some quarters as even more unorthodox to go outside the tight little dogma, the closed system of the science of psychology, and seek answers concerning human behavior in the fields of physics, anatomy, and the new science of cybernetics. My answer is that any good plastic surgeon is and must be a psychologist, whether he would have it so or not. When you change a man's face, you almost invariably change his future. Change his physical image, and nearly always you change the man, his personality, his behavior, and sometimes even his basic talents and abilities. Beauty is more than skin deep. A plastic surgeon does not simply alter a man's face. He alters the man's inner self. The incisions he makes are more than skin deep. They frequently cut deep into the psyche as well. I decided a long time ago that this is an awesome responsibility and that I owe it to my patients and to myself to know something about what I am doing. No responsible MD would attempt to perform extensive plastic surgery without specialized knowledge and training. Just so, I feel that if changing a man's face is going to change the inner man as well, I have a responsibility to acquire specialized knowledge in that field also. Failures that led to success. In a previous book, written some 20 years ago, New Faces, New Futures, I published a more or less collection of case histories where plastic surgery, and particularly facial plastic surgery, had opened the door to a new life for many people. That book told of the amazing changes that often occur quite suddenly and dramatically in a person's personality when you change his face. I was elated at my successes in this respect, but like Sir Humphrey Davy, I learned more from my failures than from my successes. Some patients showed no change in personality after surgery. In most cases, a person who had a conspicuously ugly face or some freakish feature corrected by surgery experienced an almost immediate, usually within 21 days, rise in self-esteem, self-confidence. But in some cases, the patients continued to feel inadequate and experienced feelings of inferiority. In short, these failures continued to feel, act, and behave just as if they still had an ugly face. This indicated to me that the reconstruction of the physical image itself was not the real key to changes in personality. There was something else which was usually influenced by facial surgery, but sometimes not. When this something else was reconstructed, the person himself changed. When this something else was not reconstructed, the person himself remained the same, although his physical features might be radically different. The face of personality. It was as if personality itself had a face. This non-physical face of personality seemed to be the real key to personality change. If it remained scarred, distorted, ugly, or inferior, the person himself acted out this role in his behavior, regardless of the changes in physical appearance. If this face of personality could be reconstructed, if old emotional scars could be removed, then the person himself changed, even without facial plastic surgery. Once I began to explore this area, I found more and more phenomena which confirmed the fact that the self-image, the individual's mental and spiritual concept or picture of himself, was the real key to personality and behavior. More about this in the first chapter. Truth is where you find it. I have always believed in going wherever it may be necessary to find truth, even if international boundaries must be crossed. When I decided to become a plastic surgeon years ago, German doctors were far ahead of the rest of the world in this field, so I went to Germany. In my search for the self-image, I also had to cross boundaries, although invisible ones. Although the science of psychology acknowledged the self-image and its key role in human behavior, psychology's answer to the questions of how the self-image exerts its influence, how it creates a new personality, what happens inside the human nervous system when the self-image is changed, was somehow. I found most of my answers in the new science of cybernetics, which restored teleology as a respectable concept in science. It is rather strange that the new science of cybernetics grew out of the work of physicists and mathematicians rather than that of psychologists, especially when it is understood that cybernetics has to do with teleology, goal striving, goal-oriented behavior of mechanical systems. Cybernetics explains what happens and what is necessary in the purposeful behavior of machines. Psychology, with all its vaunted knowledge of the human psyche, had no satisfactory answer for such a simple goal-oriented purposeful situation as, for example, how it is possible for a human being to pick up a cigarette from a coffee table and place it in his mouth. But the physicist had an answer. The proponents of many psychological theories were somewhat comparable to men who speculated as to what was in outer space and on other planets, but could not tell what was in their own backyards. The new science of cybernetics made possible an important breakthrough in psychology. I myself take no credit for the breakthrough, other than the recognition of it. The fact that this breakthrough came from the work of physicists and mathematicians should not surprise us. Any breakthrough in science is likely to come from outside the system. Experts are the most thoroughly familiar with the developed knowledge inside the prescribed boundaries of a given science. Any new knowledge must usually come from outside, not from experts, but from what someone has defined as an inpert. Pasteur was not an MD. The Wright brothers were not aeronautical engineers, but bicycle mechanics. Einstein, properly speaking, was not a physicist, but a mathematician, yet his findings in mathematics completely turned upside down all the pet theories in physics. Madame Curie was not an MD, but a physicist, yet she made important contributions to medical science. How you can use this new knowledge. In this book, I have attempted not only to inform you of this new knowledge from the field of cybernetics, but also to demonstrate how you can use it in your own life to achieve goals that are important to you. General principles. The self-image is the key to human personality and human behavior. change the self-image and you change the personality and the behavior. But more than this, the self-image sets the boundaries of individual accomplishment. It defines what you can and cannot do. Expand the self-image and you expand the area of the possible. The development of an adequate, realistic self-image will seem to imbue the individual with new capabilities, new talents, and literally turn failure into success. Self-image psychology has not only been proved on its own merits, but it explains many phenomena which have long been known but not properly understood in the past. For example, today there is irrefutable clinical evidence in the fields of individual psychology, psychosomatic medicine, and industrial psychology that there are success-type personalities and failure-type personalities, happiness-prone personalities and unhappiness-prone personalities, and health-prone personalities and disease-prone personalities. Self-image psychology throws new light on these and many other observable facts of life. It throws new light on the power of positive thinking, and more importantly, explains why it works with some individuals and not with others. Positive thinking does indeed work when it is consistent with the individual's self-image. It literally cannot work when it is inconsistent with the self-image until the self-image itself has been changed. In order to understand self-image psychology and use it in your own life, you need to know something of the mechanism it employs to accomplish its goal. There is an abundance of scientific evidence which shows that the human brain and nervous system operate purposefully in accordance with the known principles of cybernetics to accomplish goals of the individual. Insofar as function is concerned, the brain and nervous system constitute a marvelous and complex goal-striving mechanism, a sort of built-in automatic guidance system which works for you as a success mechanism or against you as a failure mechanism, depending upon how you, the operator, operate it and the goals you set for it. It is also rather ironic that cybernetics, which began as a study of machines and mechanical principles, goes far to restore the dignity of man as a unique creative being. Psychology, which began with the study of man's psyche or soul, almost ended by depriving man of his soul. The behaviorist, who understood neither the man nor his machine, and thereby confused one with the other, told us that thought is merely the movement of electrons and consciousness, merely a chemical action. Will and purpose were myths. Cybernetics, which began with the study of physical machines, makes no such mistake. The science of cybernetics does not tell us that man is a machine, but that man has and uses a machine. Moreover, it tells us how that machine functions and how it can be used. Experience is the secret. The self-image is changed for better or worse, not by intellect alone, nor by intellectual knowledge alone, but by experiencing. Wittingly or unwittingly, you develop your self-image by your creative experiencing in the past. You can change it by the same method. It is not the child who is taught about love, but the child who has experienced love that grows into a healthy, happy, well-adjusted adult. Our present state of self-confidence and poise is the result of what we have experienced rather than what we have learned intellectually. Self-image psychology also bridges the gap and resolves apparent conflicts between the various therapeutic methods used today. It furnishes a common denominator for direct and indirect counseling, clinical psychology, psychoanalysis, and even auto-suggestion. All in one way or another use creative experiencing to build a better self-image. Regardless of theories, this is what really happens, for example, in the therapeutic situation employed by the psychoanalytical school. The analyst never criticizes, disapproves, or moralizes, is never shocked as the patient pours out his fears, his shames, his guilt feelings, and his bad thoughts. For perhaps the first time in his life, the patient experiences acceptance as a human being. He feels that his self has some worth and dignity, and he comes to accept himself and to conceive of his self in new terms. Science discovers the synthetic experience, and we're almost done here, so bear with me. Another discovery, this time in the field of experimental and clinical psychology, enables us to use experiencing as a direct and controlled method of changing the self-image. Actual real-life experience can be a hard and ruthless teacher. Throw a man in water over his head and the experience may teach him to swim. The same experience may cause another man to drown. The army makes a man out of many young boys, but there is no doubting that the army experience also makes many psychoneurotics. For centuries, it has been recognized that nothing succeeds like success. We learn to function successfully by experiencing success. Memories of past successes act as built-in, stored information, which gives us confidence for the present task. But how can a person draw upon memories of past successful experiences when he has experienced only failure? His plight is somewhat comparable to the young man who cannot secure a job because he has no experience, and cannot acquire experience because he cannot get a job. This dilemma was solved by another important discovery, which, for all practical purposes, allows us to synthesize experience, to literally create experience and control it in the laboratory of our minds. Experimental and clinical psychologists have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the human nervous system cannot tell the difference between an actual experience and an experience imagined vividly and in detail. Although this may appear to be a rather extravagant statement, this book we will examine some controlled laboratory experiments where this type of synthetic experience has been used in very practical ways to improve skill in dart throwing and shooting basketball goals. We will see it at work in the lives of individuals who have used it to improve their skill in public speaking, overcome the fear of the dentist, and develop social poise, develop self-confidence, sell more goods, become more proficient in chess, and in practically every other conceivable type of situation where experience is recognized to bring success. We will take a look at an amazing experiment in which two prominent doctors arranged things so that neurotics could experience normally and thereby cured them. Perhaps most of all, we will learn how chronically unhappy people have learned to enjoy life by experiencing happiness. And he goes on to say that this book has been designed not merely to be read, but to be experienced. And I'm going to go ahead and stop there, and excited to hear your thoughts. This is so powerful, folks. I just want to quickly comment. We talk a lot on this call about beliefs and how beliefs shape our realities, and how we're always wanting to, you know, locate and replace false beliefs with beliefs that are accurate and true. And we also talk about visualizing, you know, the future and bringing the amount of income that we're working towards into our lives. What this is telling us here, and what we're going to learn on a little bit deeper level over the next couple of days, is that there are no more powerful or controlling beliefs that we have in our lives than those beliefs that we have about ourselves. If we have beliefs about ourselves that are limiting in terms of, you know, people don't really care what I have to say, or I just, you know, if I haven't achieved much success in my life, therefore, you know, success is hard for me to achieve. On and on, all the different things we believe about ourselves, and a lot of these were put there, you know, throughout our younger days, growing up, and they were implanted there, and we might not even know they're there. But the reality is, those beliefs about ourselves are limiting what we can accomplish in our lives. And so it's critical that we learn to develop a healthy self-image and find those beliefs that will be supportive of who we really are and who we want to become, and therefore we'll be able to open up and expand the realm of what is possible in our lives. This is a real critical piece of this success philosophy that we're endeavoring to implant into our subconscious mind. So excited to hear your thoughts. Let me go and open up the line here. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
Extraordinary, extraordinary book. One of the books that I got into. You know, I joined a program, one of the first programs that I ever joined many years ago, about 42 years ago, was called Melaleuca. I'm sorry, not Melaleuca. It was called, what was it called?
Holiday Magic.
Holiday Magic. And Holiday Magic, what made that program such an exceptional program is it had all of this kind of material around. And so getting into Think and Grow Rich and Psycho Cybernetics and As a Man Thinketh and all of those different books, I'll tell you, it opened up a whole new world. And this stuff is so fantastic and so heavy and so powerful. And it's just so great for every one of you that are on this call and on this call on a daily basis, because you're becoming aware, if you're not already aware, of the things that we all should be made aware of, where you take the control and the power of your life back. And my self-image is such to where I'm not bothered what people think about me. That's why I can so easily speak of the Bible and church and that whole bit, because there's no area that I will not go into, because every area needs to be gone into. There are so many of us that have such thoughts that are so off base. And if we don't let some of that go, we cannot move forward, because it holds us down. It may sound good, but it's not true. People oftentimes talk about what God wants. It has nothing to do with what God wants. God doesn't want anything. God has no need for anything. God is everything there is. So it's based on what I want, what my self-image is, my positive thinking. It's all been put in my hands, and we need to recognize that, because we're making those choices knowingly or unknowingly. This is so powerful, every single bit of it. I'd just like to say one last thing, though, Paul, about something you said earlier before you got into the reading, and it reminded me of about what you said about you didn't feel like getting up and going and exercising, and you made yourself do it anyway. One of the things that I've used and I heard for that, and it's a good one to remember, is that does the dog wag the tail, or does the tail wag the dog? And for those of us that let our feelings control or run us, it's like the tail wagging the dog. And it don't work. It's not supposed to be that way. The dog wags the tail, so you control your feelings. You don't let your feelings control you, and in the process, you take charge of your life. With that, back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts and great metaphor there, Melvin. Appreciate those.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir?
Paul, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
I just want to say, you're talking about semantics, and I went a step further, and I wanted to see the technology behind this. So I went out and I bought a frequency generator, one that makes frequencies. I took a metal plate, I put it over a speaker, and I poured salt on the plate. What happened? I almost fell out of my chair, because when I turned the frequencies on, the salt just came into structure, a geometric structure, and when I would change the frequency, it would disassemble and go into another structure, something like a snowflake. Now, a snowflake is the perfect example to understand thematics and how harmonic can change, matter, literally change matter, okay? And since we're all mostly water, and our thoughts are frequencies, which is color, this is how it all comes into play. That's how I understand it. What do you think?
Wow, that's fascinating. I haven't delved into that very much, but I'd love to see some more information on that.
You got it, buddy. I'll send it over. Thank you, Paul.
Cool. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks. Thanks. Star 6, who's next? Any other thoughts on the self-image, how you see yourself, healthy, unhealthy self-image? How can that, how have you seen that play out in your life? Or any other comments? Yes.
Hey, this is Scott in Texas.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. I a great book, by the way. I really enjoyed what you had to say. Have you ever heard of a book called Positive Imaging? It's by Norman Vincent Peale.
I have not heard of that book.
Okay. Well, I just recently found it at Half Price Books over here. And then I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, and it looks like they're actually re-releasing it. And it goes over a lot of, you know, what it sounds like is in this book here. And it's basically about, what you want to do is create the image of what you want in life, and then keep that image in your mind, and then, believe God that that's going to come to happen. And then if you, you know, keep your faith and keep your image, eventually it will. So it kind of goes into what we were covering yesterday and then with this book here. So I just want to recommend everybody, you know, if you haven't read that book, definitely go get it because it's got a lot of really good stuff in it by Dr. Peale, and I've just really been blessed by it. So I just kind of want to throw that out.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Scott. Great thoughts. And, you know, one of the things that we strive to learn as we learn these things is to learn how to do imaging and how to visualize and how to visualize our goals. And one of the things that I'm getting from this, reminding myself of this self-image is that while we're visualizing what we want in life, it's crucial that we also visualize ourselves as, you know, performing successful actions, interacting with people in a positive, happy, successful way, seeing ourselves as we want to be. And again, these are given to us. Thinking Grow Rich teaches us to visualize ourselves as we want to be for 30 minutes daily. Psycho-Cybernetics is going to give us the same suggestion. So visualizing ourselves like, if we're up on a movie screen, however we want to do it, is a critical piece to this positive imaging. So appreciate that. Thanks for pointing that out, Scott. Star 6, who's next?
Oh, good morning. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
This is so exciting to delve into this whole area. We have touched on it. We have alluded to it in both the other books. And in your true amazing ability to get us to the root of teachings, you're now providing us with the book that is the background work for this whole area of understanding why imaging actually works. And we're going into it. I'm not surprised that there's kind of a lull in the field right now, and I know that we have over 100 people on this call who just heard some of the most impactful paragraphs read to them, and we tend to sit back and really, you know, there's a lot of introspection going on right now, I suspect, and I was one of them sitting there, and I think that the idea or the area of self-image is probably the second most charged area in our existence next to our beliefs about money. And so it's no surprise. Your self-image is, it's an onion layered on by all of those experiences and comments and inputs that have occurred throughout our entire life from the very time of our infancy. And so it is the ultimate journey to take in terms of peeling the layers of that onion. And we can cut to the chase because it's not important to go back through whether every event in your life and how this and what that and et cetera, because as you've pointed out, the only time that, that action is possible is in the now. And so the ability to cut through all of that instantly by choice in the now is very real. And I want to point out again in why Maxwell Maltz put this phrase in italics is the human nervous system cannot tell the difference between an actual experience, in quotes, and an experience, in italics, imagined vividly and in detail. And we've talked about that a lot. So this is the basis of an often misused belief in our industry of home-based businesses, and that is the expression, fake it till you make it. And most people apply that datum as lie to people about how much money you're making. And in actuality, that is a very real datum with real power and real value when it's used in its correct application. And what is the correct application? The correct application is to see yourself, to fashion your self-image in the image, likeness, behavior, havingness, beingness, and doingness of a highly affluent, successful person. And if you recreate yourself in that image, in your mind, and if you allow yourself to feel the emotional joy, happiness, confidence, success, fulfillment that goes with being that imaginary person, often fashioned with an overlay from some other individual that you look up to greatly as an individual who possesses all of those things that you don't see yourself having in present time. This is the real power of this experience. It's the real power of this knowledge. It's the real power of this belief pattern. And this is really exciting. I'm going to throw a word out, because when we deal into, or when we deal in the area of self-image, it's intimately bound up with the whole concept of worthiness. And I mentioned a few calls ago that the three areas that are the most charged and most responsible for limiting negative self-beliefs fall in the areas of trust, faith, and worthiness. So maybe we'll find some comments and thoughts based on that. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Doc. Really appreciate those insights.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I just want to follow up on something Doc said, a couple of things. One is that worthiness is so key. So even when the right opportunity comes along for the person, they're not going to be able to take advantage of that if they don't feel worthy. And so that's why these things that we're speaking of here are so important, because if you don't get that in place, the other part doesn't even work, and we're fooling ourselves. Another thing Doc said, too, that comes to mind is when I work my business, I tell people the truth. So if I'm in a business, rather than that fake it till you make it, I actually say, well, so I ask people oftentimes, I'll say, so how's it going? Oh, it's going great. It's going well, how much money are you making? And they do all that fumbling around. So if you're talking to people like that, you're blowing your opportunity right off the bat. But to tell somebody honestly, well, I've only been involved a month right now, and so I'm just getting started and I'm learning right now. And so the more you're truthful about everything, the more they can relate to it, they can believe it, and they can come over to your side rather than the fake it till you make it and playing those kinds of games. So some very good points there, Doc. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, DePaul. This is Marlise. Are you able to hear me?
Hi, Marlise.
I'm going to say all of you good morning. Here it's a beautiful afternoon. But this definitely has been my most passionate search, I would say, for so many years, ever since I was initially introduced to a network marketing company, and was really all about really helping us to believe in ourselves. And that's so beautiful and so exciting for us to have a mastermind group like this, and then being able to be in a position to really touch so many other people's lives. Because as we grow and learn to believe more and more in ourselves, we can do the same with every other person that we also come in contact with. And the most important thing is always to look for the good, to, because we are so raised and used to being critical of ourselves and looking for our shortcomings, and the same always in other people. Yes, it's just, and that's how most people grow up. I know I certainly did. And when I look back, I would never want to be the kind of person that I used to be before I learned about it and really, really started to change. And it's just so exciting, so much fun to concentrate and look always for the good. It's like being a detective, really, right? And you really can, you know, enhance your own and somebody else's life by always, you know, giving a compliment when, you know, when it's, and it's so important to be sincere, always be sincere about it. And it's interesting how during all those years that I kind of observed myself growing in the process and so many others in that network marketing company, it just always was pretty, quite curious for me to find out how some of the people who didn't even seem to have it all together in a way, not as polished, not as well spoken, not as whatever. And here they were incredibly successful compared to others that I really looked up to, and I thought, gosh, they are just so great and practically in all areas, and they were struggling. So I knew it was always not as much as what we were doing, but truly what we believed about ourselves. And that's why it was so important for me to find the cause. How do we get to our belief, into our belief system? Because when I also shared some of that with my sister-in-law over here in Germany, and talked about affirmations at that time, I also just knew about affirmations before I learned about EFT, and said, well, I can keep saying, like, I'm happy, healthy, and rich, you know, all day long, but in the end of the day, I still don't feel that way. So, you know, how can you really change it? And I know I brought up EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, you know, a few times before, and it's interesting that Dr. Callan, the psychologist who actually learned about it through kinesiology, initially, of how to apply it on a psychological, emotional level, right, to really help change our beliefs, how this statement, even though whatever the problem is, you can, you know, word it and say, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. That is always the statement that you start out with. And when I would do that sometimes with some people, it's interesting how some people actually started to cry. They could not even verbalize that. It was nearly painful for them because there was no way they could even laugh or even mention that. So we would even kind of work around it. I choose to, or I try to laugh and accept myself. So it is truly the key for any of us to reach for higher goals and actually achieve them, to really work at that every day and make that our top priority. It is just, I consider it to be the most powerful way for us to become liberated, right? But it's So I could go on and on about so many different experiences, but I'm just so, so grateful, you know, for you, for this call, for our mastermind group, that we have the opportunity this way to really reach out and invite more and more people and not have them go through so many years of, you know, trial and errors and difficulties, where they really can just absolutely, you know, just blow open that, you know, any of the limiting beliefs and break through it and just really become the magnificent, beautiful human spiritual beings, you know, that God all has made us up to be. So thank you again, and thank you for everyone. I just love you, and I kind of listened to some of the calls afterwards as I was traveling and in transit. But I'm just so grateful I can be part of this. Thank you.
Hey, Paul.
Thank you so much, Marlies.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Paul, I just wanted to say, some people we can just barely hear.
Yeah, no, Paul, Marlies is dialing in from Germany, so that may be part of it. But yeah, try to speak up if you can, folks. And also press *6 to mute your line if you've unmuted it and you're not speaking, because that can contribute to, you know, the unclearness of the line. So thank you, Marlies. Great comments. And I really appreciate how you shared that line. I deeply and profoundly love and respect myself, and how you shared that some people would even start to cry. They couldn't say that. That may be a good gauge to start from when we're looking at how we feel about ourselves and how healthy our self-image may or may not be. Thank you, Marlies. *6, I think I heard a lady's voice coming out there. Who was that?
It was Jetty.
Hi, Jetty. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. I am thoroughly enjoying in this class. But I want to talk about fake it till you make it. That's been something that I have had to do for years. I'm not really good at it, but what I do, and it might help someone else, I don't know. But if you keep a smile on your face, willing to help, and people know that that's what you're doing, you gather people. People will come to you for advice. It might be where's something, and it might be right around the corner. But if you're always willing to help, the smile will get you more than a frown. And that's what I live by. I'm slow at getting there sometimes, but I'm still on the road, and I'm still getting on the right track. So anyway, I'm enjoying all of this, and it has really helped me through this program. And thank you, Paul, for everything you do and for all the information that I get off of this call. I don't miss it unless it's necessary, like a doctor's appointment. But anyway, I'm here, and back to you, Paul.
Jetty, thank you for that incredible piece of wisdom. I am someone who smiles throughout the majority of the day, and I'm not saying that I personally am. I'm saying we should say that. The words that follow the phrase I am XYZ, I am ABC, I am dot, 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 those are the beliefs that we're formulating about ourselves and who we are as people and our self-image. So as has been properly stated in the past, I am, perhaps are two of the most important words in our language. *6, come on out. Who's next? We've got a few minutes left here.
Paul Todd Young.
Hey, Todd. Good morning.
Good morning to all. You know, this is really an incredible chapter, and, you know, the preface is very profound, and, you know, I wrote an email to one of my senior partners last night, and it is just, I don't know if irony is the proper word for this chapter being talked about, or this preface being talked about this morning, but, you know, I was taught at such an early age about, you know, having our life up on a movie screen, and you know, my one of my mentors in this industry many years ago really went through really an in-depth training of, you know, where had we been in our life. We actually, you know, took our preconceived notions about things in life, about where we were, what we thought of ideas, and then, you know, where that got us to till today, and actually put our life up on a movie screen, and, you know, where are we today? And then, you know, we would literally, you know, set our goals for the rest of our life. It wasn't a, you know, 1 or 3 or 5 year goals, even though we did do this. And we stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there was actually 2,500 of us in a room for 7 days setting our goals. And it was very profound. And, you know, where we saw ourselves in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15, and what it is that we wanted to do. And, you know, this self-image of ourselves is, you know, a lot of times, you know, the things that we heard, the things that were said to us, the things that people said to us that we couldn't do. And, you know, being on these calls, being in this training, you know, really helped us to see our life the way that we wanted it. And, you know, we certainly were told also that, you know, as we went through life, that we were going to readjust, you know, where it is that we wanted to go through life as our awareness grew. And, you know, being on these calls, you know, is to me, is definitely like being in school. And to be, you know, a practitioner is something that I've always strived to be. And to have this open mind to listen to, you know, my senior partners and the other senior partners that are on this call that come out and take your time to teach all of us. And, you know, it is just very profound. And to be able to hear also the practical application, you know, with Melvin and also with Dot Fran. Dot Fran's, you know, intelligence is to me just, you know, something that I've always wanted to be around. And Paul, yours as well, and the other senior partners here. And, you know, that's why I, you know, am so adamant with my team that they be on this call. And there's a lot of folks on my team that are on this call, and it's because of my team and what they're doing in changing their mindsets and changing their self-beliefs that is getting them to where it is that they want to be. And I believe that now that they realize by being on these calls and by being a practitioner of the mind and the mindset and growing their awareness, that it's helping out their business, it's helping out their life, it's helping out their daily activities, it's helping out them to be a different person to their spouses and to their kids. And so, you know, I just wanted to share this experience of what I went through many, many years ago about, you know, developing my own movie. You know, what movie do you want to be in? Where do you want to be? It can be anything that you want to be. I mean, we are our own script writers in our life. And very grateful to be around here, and I'm very grateful to be a student of all the senior partners here. Thanks, Paul.
Mr. Young, as always, appreciate your comments, experience, wisdom, insight. Thank you. It's an honor to be working with you, my friend, and learning from you every day. And I know that everyone on the call appreciates your comments as well. Star 6 is next. We've got a few minutes left here.
Hey, Paul, can you hear
anyone? Yes, go ahead.
Paul, this is Tyler Mann from Utah.
Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning. Hey, I guess maybe I'll call to represent those who sometimes don't get on the line because of the things we've actually been talking about earlier of saying, well, you know, I might not have something good to say, and maybe just kind of talking yourself down and talking yourself out of things. I've been part of 124 for about a month, and anyway, I'll try to be as quick as I can. I got a lot of things going through my mind, but when I first signed up, I was totally excited about everything, and within a day or two, I got a 124 marketing system. I got a website. I didn't really know much about how to do this. I was just totally pumped up and excited that I'm going to do this. I'm going to conquer the world, and I was just was really excited about the company and about the product, about the marketing plan, about the compensation plan. And what I found, I went out and soon after that, just a few days after I ordered some business cards, I went out to talk to people, and I found myself just once again self-conscious and saying, well, maybe this person doesn't want to hear it. This person doesn't want to hear what I have to say. And then I later I kicked myself and say, you know, why didn't I go talk to these people? I just So it's like this constant battle in my head. And even though in the past I've had different successes and leadership positions and different capacities in my life, but I find myself always kind of battling with that internal self-consciousness or and anyway, just doing some self-analysis, I just get mad at myself and kind of kick myself. Anyway, the last month I've been ecstatic about this call also because how it's helped me. And even looking at the psycho-cybernetics and reading about this chapter just like a couple weeks ago when I saw it on your website and reading about how the mind is just a servo mechanism of your brain and your subconscious, your brain and your nervous system, and how it's just that things come into your life how you've imagined them. Anyway, trying to formulate my thoughts here because what happened to me is I would talk to myself, I would say, shoot, I don't know if this is for me, I don't know if this is the best thing, and then I'd get back on these calls and get totally excited and totally pumped up. And then the same thing would happen a couple days later. I talked to the people and then talked myself out of it and go, shoot, I don't know if this is for me. And then and then I was listening to the call again. I think this was the day that let me just look at my notes here real quick. I remember Rick Martin getting on saying, live your life. Live your best life today and enjoy life today. And Lindy was saying something about people who speak negativity. They just don't know what they're doing. And then Paul, you got on there and reminded us about what Napoleon Hill said about who told you it couldn't be done and what great achievement has he to credit to his credit to qualify him to judge your ability. And I'm just getting excited about all these things. And then that was actually the day that, I think Todd Young got on there also and said, shared his experience about when he was 5 years old and his dad came out to the, as a baseball player and came out to the mound and said, talked about visualization and don't worry about the things that other people think. And so anyway, and then after that, you said some good things and trying to paraphrase quickly here. And then Doc Fran got on there and said, I'm just grinning from ear to ear in bliss. And I remember at the time looking at that and just going, are these guys for real? Is everybody here for real? Because I guess that's the level that I was on, is I wanted to believe it. I truly wanted to believe that people are truly positive, but I was still struggling with it because of the things that I think I've been kind of programmed in my mind to that point to think that, if you're to be realistic, you really have to understand and recognize that life just kind of stinks a lot. When in reality, that's not true. There's no truth to that, but it's just kind of how we've been trained that position, but in that situation. But anyway, I don't want to keep talking forever here, but I just wanted to thank everybody for the calls because I realized at the time, when I thought, is this for real? And I really want to truly believe it. And I do believe that you, and I've listened to Melvin, and you hear Rick Martin get on and just to be excited about life and talking about positivity, and Todd, and like I said, yourself and Justin and Greg, I've just grown a lot. And I look at the this analogy even Doc Fran mentioned today that about the onion. And I've thought about this the last few weeks, and he's mentioned it a couple of the times. And I look at myself thinking, I haven't just peeled off like a layer or two. I look at myself now just in the last month, and I think of myself as like the onion that's been sitting in the bottom of the fridge for a month or two or three. It's all mushy and peeling off tons of layers. I've come a long way a little in just a short period of time, but I know this is a process also, and just excited about reprogramming my mind to think positive and how this whole process of strengthening yourself. And I look at this as my own company. I want to be a leader and be able to uplift and motivate and excite and inspire others. And to do that, I know that through this process, I'm strengthening myself and having a better self-confidence and a better self-image, and moving forward and thinking positive, and excited to just reprogram my mind. So thanks for listening, Paul.
Tyler, wow, thank you so much for coming out and sharing those incredible thoughts and experiences, and just really, you know, sharing things that I guarantee, as you were talking, every single person on the line, myself included, was identifying with all of those internal thoughts and conversations that you were having with yourself as you went through your day, and, you know, you're going back and forth with yourself. We all go through that, and I just really, really admire you for doing the work and peeling away the onions and, you know, not giving in to those thoughts and getting on the call and allowing the things that wise people have said to influence you. And just thank you so much for sharing that. Really, really appreciate that. What a fitting end to the call today. Folks, it is a wonderful life. Life is a miracle. I am a miracle. You are a miracle. Let's get out there today and make today the best day it can possibly be by having faith in our goal, faith in ourselves, understanding that we have huge power within us to move forward and do and become and just make our lives as wonderful as they can possibly be. Let's take action. Let's not let temporary setbacks stop us. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks, everyone, for your contribution today. We'll see you in the morning. Bye-bye.